News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
His fabulosity knows no bounds. Mr. Rob Center, our producer, is taking good care of us even as we speak at this precise moment. So we very much are grateful for him trying to make us sound a little bit better each day. In the studio with us now, Ben Wilhelm is on the line. He's a financial advisor at Lone Oak Financial Services. And we turn to him from time to time to find out what's cooking on Wall Street, maybe some sound investing advice. And I always ask him the weirdest question in history every time he's on the show. So he's on the line. Ben, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you, Mark, for having me. Good morning. And fabulosity? Is that a word you just made up?
Yes, I think it is. Yes, it might be, but maybe not. It's the state of being fabulous. So,
I like it.
Thank you. That describes you sometimes too. All right, Wall Street's clawback. We keep watching this. Wall Street takes two steps forward and one step back. What's the status of Wall Street's clawback?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I was on about 2 months ago, and it had come back fairly significantly then, and we were right in the middle of all the turmoil, and I had stated that the stock market itself, the financial markets, are a leading indicator, so they move in anticipation of the future. Since then, it's continued to rise. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you what's going to happen next, because that would be dangerous for me to do that. More what my job is to do is to work with individuals to be disciplined and to create a plan and a strategy going forward. I do think still, even though there is some uncertainty and there is going to be some volatility in the market, I don't think it's something that we need to, run for the hills on at this point. There's a ton of data out there, and we don't have time in the show just to talk about all of it. Everything from, fiscal stimulus to how much cash is on the sidelines, to other trends, to whether we get a vaccine or not, things like that. That all are implications on how the market would continue to move forward. And that's where information is out of our control. Even if we have a lot of good information, it only takes one negative event to affect, macro event to affect in the short term the market. And I think if you're investing in the stock market, you need to have, and I say this over and over again, you need to have a long-term perspective. This is not a short-term venture for you to get in and out of the market. Most people who are getting in and out of market consistently are going to do worse than if they just got in and stayed in. And then we also talk in general terms, like in the market. Well, what's that mean? You could be broadly in the market, or you could also be more specific in the market. So you could buy sectors, you can even buy individual stocks. So there's many stocks that are well up this year. And then there's many stocks that are down this year, and even certain sectors that are significantly down this year. So we talk in all these generalities, and what I don't want to do is confuse people more, which is probably partly what happens. But I think more to talk to the audience, or talk to in general to people, you have your own specific plan for yourself. That's important that you develop that, and that you create disciplined habits of investing. And finance, not how do I get in and make a lot of money and how do I get out. That's just more speculative and more trading as far as being a trader than rather being an investor. And so I believe more in investing than I do believe in trading.
All right, so the long-term, well, let's elaborate on that. This idea, I keep an eye on Wall Street, and, mainstream media, we love to say what the Dow is as it's going up, and lately we've been saying that it's been going back up, which is good. But you don't obsess on this. I might check it more often than you do.
I doubt you do that.
Okay.
You know, when you manage millions of dollars, you kind of, you know, you kind of keep an eye on it. But you have to have a temperament. I mean, even Warren Buffett, I mean, people would argue that Warren Buffett's the greatest investor in our lifetime. He says that it's not as much about intelligence as it is about temperament. So our temperaments can affect how successfully we are investing. So if you're a person who gets in and you see things going down and you get a little shaky and you start pulling out, you know, that's problematic for you. If you're following everything emotionally and when things are up and good and you're feeling good and you're socking way more money into the market at high valuations, and then you're selling when things go down, you're hurting yourself, and you're probably not positioned temperamentally to do that, to be investing. And so yeah, I mean, I do follow very, you know, I check the market on a daily basis, and I'm constantly reading and paying attention, listening to certain economists and money managers. So, and I enjoy that too, but when it becomes something like a distraction or when it becomes stressful for people, it's probably time to seek professional advice and let somebody work with you so that you can do what you do well and enjoy what you do in your life, and let a professional, which studies have shown if you work with a professional, you're going to do better anyway. And that's a general statement. So it's more about temperament. Like, are you, in fact, you know, one of the questions that I ask when assessing risk tolerance is if there would be a stock market decline, or if your portfolio would decline by 25% or more in a 3-month period, what would you do? Would you sell all? Would you liquidate all of your portfolio? Would you liquidate some of it? Would you hold and make no changes, or would you add money? Right. So for people who have a high risk tolerance or who are really aggressive, they might be adding money when the market goes down, which is a great idea. It's a buying opportunity. Again, it's been said the stock market is one of the only places when things go on sale, people run away from it, right? Most people don't run away from sales. Mm-hmm. So we saw that back in March, there was a big sale. Well, a lot of people were fleeing, and they should have been saying, wait a minute, this is a short-term reaction to an event that created a lot of uncertainty. Are there some good buys there? And yes, there were, obviously, since we've seen returns of 30%+ since then, just in the broad averages.
Well, sometimes when there is a sale, as you describe, you would hear a forecast that say this recession's only going to last into the fourth quarter or something, or that, you know, now is a big buying opportunity for various stocks and the economy has sound fundamentals and so on. What do you hear those forecasts? I'm not asking you to make a forecast, but what are you hearing?
Well, I think people, the more uncertainty is, the more careful people are in making forecasts. And if they are bold in making forecasts, you probably shouldn't listen to them anyway. So right now what we're hearing is there's a lot of researchers and a lot of analysts and a lot of economists, and they speculate on which alphabet to use to illustrate what kind of, what we're going to have going forward, whether it's a V-shape, the U-shape, the W-shape, the J-shape. You hear this, and I guess it's a cute little way of helping people visualize what it would look like. You know, if you're in the market and you're hoping that, hey, I have 1 year, I want to see things come back, that's not wise, because things could go really well and then all of a sudden there's another major disruption. And then you're sunk again, and if you're looking at pulling your money out to buy a house, or I would say retire, but retirement is not, you don't pull all your money out when you retire. In fact, you know, a lot of times you have 20 or 30 more years to go in retirement. You need to make your money last. So, but if you have that money on the sideline and you're hoping to use it a year from now, now would be a good exit point, not a good entry point. If you're saying, where will we be in 10 years? I think based on the nature of the structure of our free enterprise, and innovation, and our economy, 10 years from now, we will see, you will probably experience gains. I'm saying probably, there's no guarantee on anything, you will probably be better off investing in the economy, and certainly the U.S. economy, but even certain areas of the global economy. I think we're going to see, because what we have here is we have a lot of government central bank intervention, and there's a lot of fiscal stimulus being thrown into. We have a large glut of cash right now. So as long as I think a lot of people, a lot of analysts would say, or a lot of economists would say, you know, things hinge on a vaccine. I've been hearing. I don't hear that quite as much now. Well, this a lot of this hinges on a vaccine. Well, people are getting sick and they're getting better without a vaccine. So, and this is my personal view, and I'm not a doctor. You know, will there be a reoccurrence, or you know, have things shifted and changed for permanently? Will the next flu season create some kind of, you know, slowdown? I don't know. We don't know those things. Right. So anyway, I'm not sure if I answered your question.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. One more question. A lot of folks during this time of political discussions and protests and so on may say, well, I want my money invested in only areas or companies with whom I agree with their mission statements and their mindset. How can you find out how your money is invested?
That is a good question, and we do build out some portfolios that way. That's a lot more research and time, and usually paying for you know programs that do that research for you typically, because that'd be hard for the average person to do. Let's put it that way, and not just like, you know, you could say somebody doesn't agree with, well, I don't agree with you know, the alcohol industry because I had an uncle who was an alcoholic and you know, died from it or something like that. So you might say, well, I'm not going to invest in any, you know, alcohol companies or companies that don't treat their employees well or something like that. So how do you figure that? And it's not just what industry they are in. Where are they giving their money? Maybe they're giving their money to an industry you don't like, you know. That's way too cumbersome and very difficult for somebody to go through all the financial statements and all the, you know, annual statements of each company to figure out, do I like this company? It's interesting. My wife and I had dinner last night. We were just talking about, you know, people were talking about boycotting and just our different views on what we think about boycotting. And you know, some people just like, if they make a good product, I'm going to buy it. And some people are, if they make a statement I don't like, I'm not going to buy it. And so everybody has a different view, and I certainly don't want to impress upon people to tell them what to do. But it's an interesting conversation. I think that's okay. A conversation for a later time, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, we'll do that. Because, we'll have to bring it back when we have more time.
We'll put a lot of thought in, too.
Right. Well, so it's complicated. So, and I think that's probably why you hear a university might divest itself, because they have a sufficient amount of Wilhelms around that can look at all this and say, okay, well, this one's in this and this one is that. But a layperson, you don't usually hear them in that. But all right, well, let's correct, dig into that further another time. I think that'd be great. Mark it on your calendar a month from now. We'll have you back on. We'll check in to see how the economy's doing, and we'll dig how maybe personal decisions making can affect your investing a little bit further. Ben, thank you so much for all your time and your help. I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, good talking to you, Mark. We'll do lunch soon.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Ben,
yeah,
I already owe Ben one lunch, and the number's going to keep climbing. Ben Wilhelm, financial advisor, Lone Oak Financial Services. We've been checking in from time to time as Wall Street goes up and down, and the pandemic has some impact on investing and our economy.